I'm Barbara Glickstein, a public health nurse and the co-founder and director of the Center for Health Media and Policy at Hunter College, City University of New York. I'm here today with Deborah Altshuler, the co-founder and president of the National Pediculosis Association, who has given the community tremendous amount of information, truthful information, and access to research and innovation in products that have helped communities and families across the country and the world. It sounds to me you're trying to change culture around the way society treats children with head lice and families who are dealing with a head lice issue at home. As a child growing up, I remember fights and parents talking about other children in a secretive way, which was very hurtful to the child who was going through this experience. Has that changed much, and is that one of the main goals also of NPA, to really change the culture around head lice?
Well, I would think just the opposite. We live in a culture where people spend billions, with a B, of dollars to make their hair curly, to make it straight, to make it cleaner, to make it shinier, to make it longer, to make it whatever it is they want to do. We are a culture totally fixed on our hair, and it's presumptuous, at the very least, for medical professionals to turn to a parent with an understanding of how we as a culture care about our hygiene and say it's okay for your child to come to school with lice eggs in their hair. And that's what's so surprising about this. I'm sure that the pediatricians who think it's okay for children to attend school with lice eggs in their hair wouldn't want to be known as the pediatrician that sees patients with lice eggs in their hair. And so we come back to advocating for the children. We're here to give them a voice. They don't want bugs in their hair or any remnant of a bug in their hair, and they count on the adults in their lives to help them with it. That's what we're here to do. Pesticides are complicated, but parenting and caring for our children isn't. We come to it naturally. We just need help sometimes with the information.
There's a lot of reference to evidence-based medicine and evidence-based practice. Some of your opponents to the idea that head lice are safe, there's not an issue, they can be in school. Using these pesticides, there's no really adverse effects if you use them periodically. Refer to this as being evidence-based.
Evidence-based has become another buzzword in the nightmare. It's difficult to take it on because it's another controversy. But evidence-based without transparency is more marketing. If you have nothing to apologize for, then let it be known who you are, who you're working for, and let people make up their own minds. The evidence for head lice is pretty basic. I mean, lice are human parasites. They live on human blood. They like children especially because they're easy to move between one and another. And the way we respond to them is just almost comical, were it not so tragic, for the way in which children are exposed unnecessarily to toxic chemicals. If you want to talk about evidence-based in most of these pesticides that are used for treatment that are known to be a risk, you can go from agency to agency. The agencies contradict each other, and yet they all, with the exception of the FDA, acknowledge that pesticides in children are not a good idea. Certainly, the idea of shampooing a child with a pesticide when you have safer choices is not a good idea. Our goal is we can reach as many parents as possible. We know that they want to do whatever they can to protect their children and keep them safe, and that they need help getting the right information. To change the way in which our government functions on this is a pretty tall order. We've been trying to do that for a really long time.
The National Pediculosis Association is trying to change the world. And in the European Union, they've actually moved towards the precautionary principle on this issue and are banning many of these pesticides. What is the precautionary principle, and how can we adopt that thinking as parents, even if the government is not following that principle to date?
Most parents are walking, talking precautionary principles. We take the hand of our child when we cross the street. We make sure that when they're newborns that you know, everything is protective. They've just banned cribs that have drop-down sides. We'll walk to the ends of the earth to keep our children out of risk. It's natural. So explaining what the precautionary principle is to parents is a pretty simple thing to do. In the scientific medical area, to us it means, and I think that this is what they intend with it, is not to wait for the double-blind studies and all that go in. If you have any sense that something may be of risk and you have a safer choice, then avoid it. Don't use products that we know can be hurtful, and especially on children. And I think that it's a wonderful thing, and I feel that this is what NPA is. We are also the precautionary principle. In our mission, we are the voice of reason, and for goodness sakes, we are the voice for children. They don't have a say in this, and we have to give them that say. That's why we're still here.